I've been so excited, and I've really enjoyed this series In Between, where we've discussed being in between two different places. I think this is where many of us, we find ourselves in life. Maybe we find our spiritual journey. Maybe your faith journey is one of in between exploration and fully engaged. Maybe you're kind of like, I don't know about faith yet. I don't know about the whole Bible and Jesus and all that kind of stuff. Well, hey, that's all good. I'm glad you're here, or I'm glad you're listening or tuning in at a later date, because man, we are a church that no matter where you find yourself in the journey of faith, you can have a place here at Victory City Church. But I think this, we often live our life between two states. You could be kind of saying, a simple way to say it is, we live our life in the here while we want to be there, right? How many of you guys, you have a there? Maybe it's financially, maybe it's relationally, maybe it's with your peace, maybe it's just a current, just a part of your life where you're going, I'm here, but I want to be there. And oftentimes we're stuck in what I call the in-between of going, I know I'm here and I want to be there, I just don't know how to get there. And I think the enemy, and if you are a non-believer, you have an enemy of your soul who wants nothing more than to trip you up, stop you up, and to keep you from really living the life that God has designed and planned for you. And so sometimes those come in the form of speed bumps or blocks where we're going, I literally don't know how to get there, and I find myself stuck here. And, you know, last week we talked about in between distraction and purpose, where the enemy keeps you distracted and you use all kinds of sideways energy and you're focusing on things that in the end, they don't really add up to something or a life lived worthwhile. While one of the things we said was distraction is a way to escape life, but purpose is a way to enjoy life. Well, this week I'm excited for the message I feel like God has given us. So if you will, let's go straight to Scripture, and I'm going to put it on the screen for you, but if you do want to read along in your Bible, whether you've got a physical Bible or a digital Bible, or maybe you're watching online in the living room, if you are watching in your living room or wherever, make sure you give us a wave, let us know where you're tuning in from, and I'm so excited that you did choose to be with us this morning. But let's go, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Now, before I set this up, I need to help you understand the context that Paul is writing this in. I think sometimes when we see biblical characters, we think that they win all day. You know, like the, all I do is win, win, win. No, like, so we think that all Bible characters do is they just go through life from victory to victory to victory, and they never have trouble and they never have difficulty. And even if they do face difficulty, they whistle through it because somehow they're just almost like superhuman. But 2 Corinthians is really a moment where Paul is actually extremely depressed. He's walked through a really difficult season, both physically and spiritually. He has a season where he personally is afflicted, physically, where he's arrested, he's beaten. But not only that, he's got like spiritual sons and daughters who are kind of going off into different directions, and so he's heartbroken. And so here we pick up this scripture. So understand, when Paul is writing 2 Corinthians, sometimes we can get these images in our mind that these are just perfect people. But they're people like you and I. They have emotions, they have struggles, they have difficulties. And here, Paul's writing, and he says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over our lives." Now, that's where a lot of people are like, whoa, 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 I thought Christianity was about blessing, not about suffering. Because if it's about suffering, I'm going to find a different church. I need to find my blessing church, not my suffering church. Flow into our lives. So also, through Christ, our comfort overflows. And the word there in the Greek means like a river bursting its banks. Meaning that literally, have you ever seen a river burst its banks and it's flowing at such a rate, and it's just, that's what Paul is saying, is that the comfort that God brings our life literally is overflowing. It's bursting its banks trying to get to you. If we are distressed, it is for our comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we've suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. How many of you guys have ever been there? I've been under pressure far beyond my ability to endure. Can anybody attest to that? I've had moments in my life where I'm going, God, I don't know that I can handle this. Well, here Paul is in the same boat. He says this: so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. I thought I was going to die. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him, we will set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. And there was a lot of scripture there. But the title of my message this morning, if you are a note taker or if you just like things like this, the title of my message is In Between Pain and Patience. In Between Pain and Patience. Let's pray. God, I just pray over these next few moments that, God, you would speak to us. That, God, your voice would be the loudest in the room. God, help us to take a step closer to you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Everybody said? You know, with small children in the house, I have learned that the question why is asked quite a bit. If some of you are parents or parents of now grown children and have grandchildren, you understand why, why? Why can't I have more ice cream? Why can't I watch that movie? Why can't I go to that friend's house? Why is the sky blue? Why don't unicorns exist? Why? Why do we have to drive instead of fly? Why don't we live in a mansion? Well, your dad's broke. I don't know. You know, why? And then when you give them the answer, they ask why again. You're like, I just gave you the answer, but why is that the answer? Why don't you have a different? Why are you the way you are? Why are birds called birds? I don't know. Because they are. And I remember being a kid and asking these same why questions. And I thought, when I become a parent, I'm going to do it differently. I'm going to give an articulate answer to the profound questions that my kids ask. I thought for sure I'm going to be able to explain it to their little minds in a way, because I do communicate for a living. So I thought, like, I'm going to be able to communicate these truths to them where they have an acute awareness of a new knowledge. So I thought for sure I'm going to be able to do this. Well, as a parent, I hated the answer to why is, because my parents would say this, right? Maybe you have this, because I said so. But why? I thought, I'm going to avoid that answer because I'm going to be able to give them real truth. So that lasted about 30 minutes, right? So my kids asking why, and the other day we're having a conversation. Dad, why do I have to wear a helmet when I ride my bike? Well, son, you got to understand this, that if you don't wear a helmet, you could actually injure yourself. But this person doesn't have to. Why don't they have to? Well, we don't live our lives like they do. We do it like our family does. Well, why when you fall and you hurt your head, does your brain mess up? Why doesn't your head, like, isn't your head already a helmet? So why do I have to do that? And you're like, so why do I have to wear a helmet? Because I said so. Why? Well, you know, as an adult, we don't really ask these why questions, like, why can't I have more ice cream? Because we can have more ice cream. We get to do what we want. We can stay up as late as we want. We can watch the movies we want. We can have a sleepover with the people we want to have a sleepover with, as long as they're willing. You can do what you want in your life. You don't have to ask the why questions that pertain to restrictions on your behavior. But I think you haven't stopped asking why. Especially if you're a believer, you ask God, why? Why, God? Why? Maybe you're an unbeliever, you ask the universe, why? You ask nature, you ask a friend, you ask a family member, why? You ask God, why haven't you answered my prayer, God? I've been praying, I've been living my life good. I've been reading my Bible. I've been listening to messages during the week. All I listen to is Christian music. Why aren't you speaking to me? Why do I feel so distant from you? God, why haven't you healed me? God, why haven't you healed my family member? God, why haven't you healed my son or daughter? God, why haven't you healed my mother or father? Why, God, why? God, why am I still alone? Why am I still struggling with this? Why am I still unemployed? God, why am I the way I am? Why? The other thing I think we ask God is, God, why am I experiencing so much pain? Have you ever been in a moment of pain? You go, why? Why, God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? Why this difficult time? Why this difficult season? God, why corona? Why? Why in the middle? Why layoffs? Why racial problems? Why this political war that feels like it's dividing our country? Why are you allowing this to happen? You see, pain is a big one. Come on, how many of you guys hate pain? And I hate pain, right? You know, like if you're online, say, I hate pain. In the room, say, I hate pain. But do we? You see, I don't think that we hate pain in general. I think this, that we hate pointless pain. Pain that feels pointless, we don't like. Pain that feels unnecessary, pain that we can't see a reason why, we hate that type of pain. But we'll embrace the pain of working out. Right? Literally, you go there to experience pain. It's not like this great experience, you know. Like, trust me, during quarantine, I tried to run a few miles, and I got like half a mile, and I was like, why, God? Why so much pain? What about saving for your first home? There's pain there to say no to certain expenditures. We can't go out to eat. We can't buy that. We can't do that. We can't go on that vacation. Why? We're saving for a home, right? But you embrace that pain because you see the point. I think about childbirth. Oh, my goodness. I saw four of those happen. Whoa! There's some pain. It had a point. And all they did was ask me why. But maybe going back to school. Maybe you're in life and so you go through the pain of those late nights, those things where you're saying no to certain things so you can go back to school for better education. I think this, that as long as we can see a point to pain, we're okay with it. But it's when we don't see the point that we ask God, why? God, why? Why is this happening? Why am I going through this? Why? And this is the time, I think, that we find ourselves stuck in the in-between. Between pain and patience. Asking God, why? Why is this happening? What's going on? Why do I have to feel this way? And I think the enemy of our soul wants us continually focusing on our pain. And all we see is our pain. You ever had pain blinders on where it's literally all you can see, all you can talk about, all you can think about, all that consumes your mind is the pain going on in your life. Pain. I think this, that as believers, we make the assumption that if God is provident and God is in control of it all, there is no such thing as pointless pain. Now, we may not see the point, but we have to make the assumption and the belief and the faith statement that this, that if God is in control, I shouldn't be asking why, I should be asking what. Okay, God, if this pain is in my life, what is it here to accomplish? What is it doing in me? What's the purpose behind it? What is the point? Because pain in our life, although there's pain that is self-inflicted, and sometimes there's pain that just naturally happens because we live in a broken world, we have to make the faith statement, and we have to come from the ideology that this, that if God is in control, then any pain that I am experiencing has a point. It has a purpose. Now, where we get twisted is we find ourselves, yeah, but I don't see the point. Well, just because you don't see a point doesn't mean a point doesn't exist. Just like as a parent, there are some times that you have to say no, or because I said so, or give restrictions, or even inflict pain at times, and the kids may not see a point. You see, this is where we find Paul.
In 2 Corinthians 1, verse 6, it says, if we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance. So I wonder this morning if the pain that we are experiencing in our life, the pain that you're experiencing, I wonder, rather than just being pointless, I wonder if it can produce patient endurance in between pain and patience. You see, I believe this, that pain is the process that produces patience. Pain is that process. You know, you've heard it said that pain is a great teacher. Pain is a great instructor. But you see, I think patience sometimes is an underrated quality. Patience, you know, like we look and go like, give me strength, give me courage, give me joy, help me love everybody, give me kindness. But patience, what does that mean? That just means I just suffer a long time. What does patience actually do in my life? But I believe that this, that patience is a believer's secret weapon. Patience really is faith in action. Come on. You see, if I can be patient, that means that I have a belief or a knowledge that in the end it all works out. I've been praying this. God, in the end, you win anyways. So no matter what I go through right now, in the end, you win. And I wonder how many believers quit or become disengaged or give up or walk away from faith because of pain, and they've not allowed the pain in their life to produce a patient endurance where they have a knowledge or a faith that, God, you're in control. In the end, you've already won. And even though I'm going through a battle right now, the war is won. Therefore, I can be patient. Patient. I can be patient. We drove from Austin to Oklahoma this past week, and I have the knowledge that we're going to get there. Like, we're going to arrive. Google said it would take 7 hours. It took 9. But my 4-year-old struggled. She thought, when are we ever going to get here? Why is this taking so long? Now, I had the knowledge, we're going to get there. Just keep going. Just keep making your way. I know we got to take 17 bathroom breaks. Like, I know all those things. Okay, we're going to get there. But in her mind, she was like, we're driving forever. We're like, literally, we're stuck in the car. And she even said that, Dad, why am I stuck in this car? And we're like, baby, we're going to get there. Like, when we arrive, you'll see. And some of us, we're in the car seat of life. And we're going, God! God, when are we at? God, what is going on? And God's going, hey, we're going to get there. Just trust me. You know, I think patience is a muscle. Patience is something that we grow. That's why Paul says patient endurance. Meaning this, that you're able to walk through seasons and situations and endure more because you have gone through painful situations, right? Because you have developed, you've grown, you've caused these things to grow up in you so that you can go, I have a clearer view of ultimately what happens. Therefore, I'm not going to allow what is happening temporarily affect my ultimate faith, right? So I wonder, is Victory City Church? We're going through some pain as a society. We're going through some difficulty right now. Let me ask you, is it beating you up or is it building you up? Are you asking God why? Or are you going, God, what are you teaching me in this season? Maybe you find yourself furloughed. How are you using that time? Maybe you find yourself in a situation where you're locked up with a wife or a husband that you're like, we really didn't like one another before, and now we definitely don't like one another. So you know what? Like, I can either use this or lose it, right? You know, like, rather than asking God, why? Go, okay, God, what are you teaching? What are you teaching me? What are you showing me? You see, there was a thing that went viral a few months ago, maybe a few weeks ago, actually, and it was the gummy bear challenge. You guys ever see this with little kids? Where they set out a few gummy bears, and they tell the kids, listen, I'm going to go to the bathroom, and they set the camera up where the kids can't see, and they set the camera up, and they say, I'm going to go to the bathroom, and you can't eat these gummy bears, but when I get back, I'll give you more.
right? See the thing, right? So they have one or two gummy bears, and they tell them, be patient while I walk away, and they film the reactions of the kids. It's so cute. It's awesome. And really, it was kids, but I saw ourselves sometimes in those situations. So you had some kids that were just gangster. They were just like, as soon as the mom went away, boom, eat it. Like, they didn't care. They were like, I'm not working on patience. And then you had some kids, they were in such pain, they were like, and they would like smell it. They would like touch it. They would do everything they could to try to get as close as possible. But then you had some kids that were able to go, I'll just wait. I'll wait. And then the mom came in and gave extra gummy bears, and it was like, patience. And I wonder how many of us, we struggle in this in-between of pain and patience, asking God why and missing out on an opportunity to build our lives and build our spirit and build our soul so that God can use us all the more. To be able to walk through seasons and situations in life, and even though pain comes our way, we have the patience to go, I know God's working on my behalf. I know beyond the current situation, He has a victory for me. I know that no matter what I walk through, God is developing. I would say this, don't waste this moment. If you are in pain right now, and listen, your pain may be so acute and so real, but don't waste it. Don't waste this pain. How can God use it? So how do we develop patience? How do we work on this endurance in our soul? I've got three observations that really come straight from the scripture as you're reading it. And the first one is this, is when in pain, praise God. When in pain, praise God. Now this is the most counterintuitive thing that you can ever think of. It's like if you and your wife are fighting, and then you go, tell her nice things. I don't want to tell her nice things. I'm mad at her. Have you ever been there? Maybe not. Y'all are like sanctified, saved. Y'all need to teach me. I need your help. We're coming up on 14 years of marriage. Come on, somebody, right? Like, I'm kidding. I love it. 2 Corinthians 1:3 says this, praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus. So he says that to begin with, but I need you to look at the words that he says later in the passage. We've already read this. It says this, we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired life itself. What? He says here, right, indeed, we had felt we had received a death sentence. So how does Paul go, literally, I thought I was going to die, but praise be to God. You ever been around somebody who pain has really caused them to be jaded at life? They're not the same when they've walked through that pain. Not the same when they've walked through that difficulty, and it's not for the better. It's for the worse. They become cynical. They roll their eyes at the things of God. They roll their eyes at kindness. They roll their eyes at joy. They become jaded. They begin to view their life only through pain. You see, praise is one of the ways that we fight against that. See, I think this, the enemy only wants you to see your pain. Because when you only see your pain, you forget the promise of God. You stop developing the patience that God has for you in your life. All you see is pain. You forget that ultimately God has a destination and a plan and a purpose and a reason for your life. And if this is happening to you right now, there is a point. Now, you may not see it yet. But there is a point. When I was 26, Ella had just been born, our firstborn daughter, and we were helping with a church plant, a church startup in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And so they couldn't pay me because it was a startup, and so I volunteered all my time and actually got a job in the oil fields of North Dakota. And so at certain times I was gone for multiple weeks, and the way this job worked was that you were on a 6-week delay for a paycheck, so you had to work for 6 weeks and then you got your paychecks in, and so it was a really difficult time because we were broke. We had no money, In fact, at a Cracker Barrel one time, I ran my debit card, and they said it was declined, and it was the only time in my life that I had to I post-dated a check. I had to tell the cashier, like, I'm really sorry, I don't want to walk out on you, here's a check, post-dated, you can cash it then. And I remember it was a really, really difficult season in my life. It was painful, it was hard. My daughter was just born, I was missing out, you know, like, she's walking and talking, and you know, there's only so much that like Skype can do for you because, you know, it's like, and I want to see you. I miss you. There was times in my life where, I was so broke that the hotel I was staying in, they had a continental breakfast. And the company I worked for gave me a per diem of $35 a day, but I didn't get that per diem until 6 weeks later, right? They would credit you, hey, we're going to pay, but it's going to come in later. And I was trying to save every penny. And so I used that continental breakfast was actually continental breakfast and lunch because I would get a few extra pieces of toast. I would get the jelly, the peanut butter, a yogurt, and a banana, and that was lunch for me. And so I did that for 6 weeks. I have continental breakfast, and then I would allow myself like $5 Jack in the Box or whatever. And I remember I'm eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for 6 weeks. I'm away from my kid, my firstborn daughter. I'm away from my wife. I'm in North Dakota. Like, there was sometimes three people, six buffalo, and 25 prairie dogs. Like, I mean, I'm alone. I'm a Texas kid in a winter in North Dakota, so it's like negative 20. I'm like, this is hell. This is actual hell. I know that the Bible says it's a burning lake of fire, but if you ever touch snow long enough, you start burning. I thought, this is hell. Can't do this. And I remember driving, and I had to drive 2 or 3 hours because everything's spread out there. And I remember driving, and it just overwhelmed me. I remember I just began crying, bawling my eyes out. I'm driving on this North Dakota road. There's nobody around. So I'm like swerving. I'm like ugly crying. You know what I'm saying? Like just ugly, snot bubbles, everything. I am just struggling because I'm alone. I miss my wife. I miss my daughter. I'm like, you know how you go through pain and you're like, she's not going to remember me. She's not going to know my name. You know, like all these things where it starts to become exaggerated and difficult. And in the moment, I felt like, what in the world am I doing? And it's at that moment, I don't know why, but I just started to make my own praise song up. Yes. And it wasn't good, and those in the worship team will tell you, I want to be a worship leader, I can't. And I just started singing. Yes. And I started telling God, I love you. I'm still ugly crying. I'm still like struggling in this moment. But can I tell you that I began to sing at the top of my lungs in that car? I'm broke. I'm alone. But it's in that moment that God, the comforter of our pain and of our trial, can I tell you that I had church at 11 o'clock at night in North Dakota in a 1999 Nissan Maxima with no money in my pocket and tears streaming down my face. Can I tell you that when you praise, God begins to help you with your pain. God begins to help you. Now, I know that when you're in a church service and you're going through struggle, you got your hands in your pocket, you're going, why? I'm not doing that. Can I tell you that praise is the best medication for pain? Not Jack Daniels, not a prescription drug, not other relationships that you throw yourself into. I think about this, right? Like, you ever seen like medical companies, you know what I'm saying? Like, whenever they talk about a medication, they're like, side effects may include death and constipation. All that. Here's what God says when he says, you take the medication, you'll get joy, peace, freedom. Like there's a way when you praise through your pain. So God says this, right? Like praise in the middle of it. There's no regret. There's no hangover. There's no negative side effect. The second thing is this, is look for the comforter. So again, Paul writing, he's saying the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort who comforts us in our troubles. I think we look at that and go, thanks for the sympathy, God. It's almost like we read that and we think, God just gives us a hug in the pain, and then we go back to pain. You ever been in a difficult situation and a friend, they're like, they really can't help you, But they're there and they're like, I'm so sorry. And they hug you. And you're like, thanks. But like you haven't actually, and it, like I know you can't. And it feels like you want to be nice. So you're like, appreciate it. But I'm good. You ever been in that moment where like, I actually need help, not just sympathy, but I'm grateful for your sympathy. I think sometimes we roll our eyes at God. Oh, thanks God for the comfort. I actually need a little bit more than comfort right now. See, we actually would read that scripture a little incorrectly. Because in the Bible, where God talks about a comforter, the word comforter in the Greek means paraclete, or one that comes alongside you. It's where we get from the Holy Spirit a helper. You know, I think pain has a way of telling you you're all alone. Maybe you've done it with your spouse. I'm just going through something. Nobody's here to help me. And their spouse is kind of going like, I've been here. Maybe you're going through a season. You're like, nobody even cares. Nobody even going through. But every week there's a greeter that says, hey, I love you. Welcome to church. You're going, man, there's nothing, nobody. And it's funny that when you walk through a season of pain, in the middle you look and you go, there was no one. But if you've been a seasoned believer, meaning like you could be 30 or you could be 60, but if you've walked through some pain, hindsight's beautiful, isn't it? Because you're able to look back and in a season when you're in the middle of it, you think no one was there. But then when you look back, you go, oh, yeah, this moment and this person and this church. You see, that's why I want more than anything for you to get on a dream team or in a connect group. More than anything. Because you need people. Like, you need people. They're going to come alongside you. And here's what the Bible says. He says, hey, for those who have been comforted, you will comfort others. Meaning this, here's what I believe. I believe the church, it's not just that we're sympathetic people. We are spirit people. Yes. We're Holy Spirit enabled. So when we step into painful situations, it's not our sympathy we're bringing the paraclete into that situation. We're bringing the Holy Spirit going, how can I help you? See, you may not be going through pain right now, but I promise you, live long enough and you will. And be around enough people and you'll find that they do too. You see, the church is more than a service. We have a service. But the church should be a community of believers constantly building, encouraging, comforting. And if you're living alone right now in your pain, can I tell you that there are people in this church that love you, that care about you, and that carry the comforter on the inside of you that wants to come along beside you. I was so encouraged. We had our Connect Group training this past Monday, and we got it again tomorrow night. And I'm so encouraged that there are people going, I'm going to raise my hand because I want to help people. I want to come alongside people. And the final thing is this, is past, present, future. They're going to put this scripture on the screen, 2 Corinthians 1 verse 10. And let me see if it's up there. Right here. We already read it, but if you're online, I want you to do this with us too. If you're in the room, let's read it together first. It says, he has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. And on him we have set our hope that he will continue. So I want you to see this. He has delivered us. He will deliver us. And he will continue to deliver us. So I want this in your spirit. I want this scripture verse on your wall, on your phone, wherever you, tattoo it on your forehead, whatever you got to do. So let's say it again, right? He has. He will continue, right? So where are you online, right? Or right here. He has, come on. He will, and he will continue. He has, he will, and he will continue. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, he has, he will, and he will continue. There's a point to your pain. There's a point to the trial you're going through. There's purpose behind it. What I want to encourage you to do this week is stop asking why and begin to ask what. God, what are you teaching me? What do you want to do in me? God, what patience do I need to develop? What faith do I need to stir up in my heart, knowing no matter what I go through right now, I know you win in the end anyways. And I know you're working it out for my good. Natalie and I were talking on vacation this week, and as I close, we were just talking about how crazy this season is, you know, with Corona, and like the world stopped. Like, what in the world? Like, how, like, the world literally shut down. And I'm a big student of history. I love history. I watch documentaries for fun. Natalie thinks I'm crazy. But I told her, I said, I think every generation has pain. Every generation has gone through a situation or a season. Some generations have come through better. Some generations worse. I look at the Great Depression, the era of my grandparents. They went through a Great Depression living on nothing, but they learned to save. They learned to value things. They learned to value time with family, and they were builders. I look at the great generation of World War II when Pearl Harbor hit. Can you imagine being there? Almost like the Corona news. What? We've been attacked? Well, the whole country mobilized. Women worked in factories. Men volunteered for the army, and we were going to do something. And you see a generation going through pain. I look in the 60s right here. We had the Vietnam War, where literally war was on your television screen for the first time, where you're seeing death, and you had protests and riots pro-war, against war. You had all this stuff, and then you had the civil rights movement, and you had all this complexity and pain of what people, but you look on the other side of it, and we were able to restore a country that says, hey, these Jim Crow laws, these white versus black, this segregation is wrong. And because we used that pain in our country, we came back and going, okay, we've taken a step towards unity. Are we there yet? No, but we've used that pain. I look at the economic recession in 2008. They say that kids in that generation actually came through it better because they've learned to be better savers because they watched their parents go broke. So church, how are we going to use this season? How are we going to use this time in our life where we're literally, the church had to shut down its services, not its purpose? What are we going to do where when we go to the next season of life, will our lives be better? Would we have patient endurance?